John Gambling with special co-host Mayor Michael Bloomberg on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Now, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
And here we go on this Friday before St. Patrick's Day. Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the telephone because he's traveling today. Good morning, sir.
Going to Albany today, John. Good morning.
I know it's one of your favorite places to go.
It is on a day like today because we have something to celebrate. Yes, I'd much rather go on a day like today. There are days when I don't like to go. You're right.
Sure. Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the people of Albany. And the mayor of Albany, Jennings, is really a good guy.
All right, but the governor is going to be signing in some pension reform and other stuff?
Governor's going to take a victory lap, and I'm going to be there to say thank you and cheer him on. And there'll be other, I think, some county execs and mayors from around the state, because what he did is he got pension reform passed by the legislature. And in all fairness, credit should go to Dean Skelos, the majority leader in the Senate, Shelley Silver, who runs the Assembly, and Brian Kolb, who's the minority leader in the Assembly and provided some really needed votes. And what they did is they passed some reforms that will have nothing to do with anybody who is currently an employee of a municipality or the state, nor any current retiree of any of those systems. But for people not yet hired, the benefits that will be offered are a little less generous, but still better than what you get in the private sector, and certainly enough to attract the kind of workers that we want. You know, the workforce in at least New York City, I can tell you, and I assume it's true of the rest of the state, is as good a group of people as you'll ever find. There's always a bad apple in it, but generally we have 280,000, something like that, employees, and they do a heck of a job. You know, you go out every day and you're safe, and the economy's growing, and there's a bright future for you and your kids, and now it's a brighter future because your kids won't have to pay as much for pensions down the road. Doesn't save any money really right away, but it does over the next 30 years. It's going to save $20 billion for New York City alone.
Would you guess in those 30 years that there will probably be a need for another tier? I mean, it's just historically there has
been. I don't know. I mean, it's a question of if the legislature were to vote with probably over a veto or with the acquiescence or even support of a future governor and raise benefits, then they're going to get themselves right back into trouble. If they exercise some fiscal discipline, they will, there's still plenty of things to do, and you'd always like to spend less and have better services, and that's where we've all got to keep focusing on. But I don't know that you can say that we're going to have to do something else. Function of how people behave between now and then.
Uniformed services, police, and fire not part of this, right, here in the city?
No, that's not true. The police and fire are part of it. As a matter of fact, the police and fire, thanks to a technical change supported by Governor Patterson, had a reduction in the expenses to the city starting a couple years ago. Everybody assumed that that was just an accident and that the legislature would come back and give them back that. And in fact, what's happened with this, that's been codified into law, but also extended to sanitation and corrections. So all four of the uniformed services have shared in this. Police and fire just did it a year or two earlier than everybody else. But there are some changes for every single pension system, and each one's different. They have different kinds of workers with different ways of measuring performance and requirements to get the job. And so every system has a different amount of time before you get vested or can retire, or whether you have to contribute X or Y or whatever. But I think it's without exception, I think every single pension system did do something here to let the taxpayers continue to afford great services and great employees, but afford them.
The governor, also part of this package negotiation, has the legislature moving towards legalizing gambling casinos, 7, I believe, but not here in Manhattan. Your reaction?
Personally, I've never thought that gambling's a great idea. I've said that for the last 10 years, but I've also said if it's going to exist, we should share in the revenues. So I don't know how that's going to play out.
Okay, so you think that maybe that's not cast in stone?
Look, I think it's fair to say that states around the country try to use gambling as a ways to boost economic activity in areas that really need a boost. It is probably also true that in an awful lot of those cases, it really doesn't do anything for the area where it's located. If you go just a block or two away from a lot of these big gambling spas, you don't see any improvement for the people that live there. But hope springs eternal. People are still trying to do that. And it's sort of different than what other countries are trying to do. I went to Singapore a couple of, maybe 10 years ago, and I'm going back actually next week to receive a prize. The city has won the Lee Kuan Yew Prize, and we've got some, they're giving us something like $230,000, which doesn't balance our budget, but helps. They use gambling to not help in a particular area, but as part of an overall economic plan to get wealthy people to come and bring their monies with them. And so they care about entertaining those people as well as having financial sector to service their needs and cultural institutions. If you're going to do it every place, I certainly wouldn't have any objections if in New York City you did it. Never thought it was a great policy because it's very, it hurts people who generally can't afford it. But you go to the racinos and there's lots of
places packed.
Every time you pull that lever, you're taking, X percentage of your money and giving it away. And on balance, you, by definition, literally can't win. And yet, hope springs eternal.
It does indeed.
It's like people that said,
did you pick brackets?
I did not. But, the one thing you for sure would have done is you would have said UConn would get through the first round.
Yes, and I did.
As
you say, hope springs eternal.
If that isn't a lesson to you, I don't know. If there was ever a sure thing, you just found out that it's not sure.
You were squiring around the British Prime Minister yesterday, David Cameron. I'm curious as to what sort of things he was interested in from you.
Cameron, he and I had conversations about, and I know he talked to David Skorton, who is the president of Cornell University. He was very interested in what we were doing to attract higher education to the city. He was very moved by the World Trade Center Memorial. He went on and on about that. And there was half a dozen people from the UK who died, and his wife, Samantha, placed some flowers on the name of one of them whose husband actually joined us. He cares an awful lot about the economy here. England is going through same kinds of problems of things, services they can't afford, and things that have gotten out of hand, and they've got a real austerity program going. And so far, much to, I think, most people's surprise, it's been working, their austerity program, and he is still much more popular, I think, than anybody would have predicted, given he has such a bad news budget to work with.
The transportation bill was passed by the Senate this week. The House will take it up. It seems like it might run into some trouble there. I know you spoke with Eric Cantor recently. Was this part of that conversation?
I mentioned to him that one of the things that's really important is that we get funding in the transportation bill for mass transit. The transportation bill, which is voted on by all 100 senators in the country, really doesn't have much in the way of mass transit aid. Because most people in this country just drive. But in New York, mass transit is a very big part of our economy and how people get around, and we really need to get more people in mass transit so we can unclog our roads. And federal help would make a big difference. And, we're part of the country, too. I'd like to get our share, so I certainly talked to him about it.
You think the $1 billion that could disappear will not? You think it'll be in it?
I just don't know. I don't think anybody knows. It's all the horse trading and making legislation. Somebody once said you don't want to watch how legislation or sausage is made. But when it gets there, it either tastes good or it doesn't. And we'll see what happens.
I gather you stopped by Goldman Sachs yesterday after the article in the resignation letter that was published in the Times.
Yeah, I did. I thought this piling on is ridiculous. Goldman's a big employer in this city. Keep in mind that clients tend to be corporations and financial institutions that aren't unsophisticated. You can deal with them or not deal with them. But I thought a nasty letter from an employee. You know, you go to work for a company, it seems to me, they have an obligation to never diss you. They can part company with you, but they should never do that, nor should an employee ever walk away. And after being there for so long, you walk away from your friends and you walk away from an employer who took a risk on you. And so I just wanted to say to the people at Goldman, look, I've never worked at Goldman, but there's an awful lot of people there that work very hard. They pay taxes. They live in this city. And we want to have more companies come and locate here. And I thought the news coverage was ridiculous. Isn't even quite the right word. I thought it was not up to what we should do. And I will say there was a Bloomberg View, the editorial part of Bloomberg, wrote something which I had nothing to do with. But when I read it, I thought the guy that wrote it had it exactly right. He said, surprise, surprise, Goldman is not the Make-A-Wish Foundation. They're a company that's here to make money. That's what they do.
Well, that's what I said yesterday. And when somebody asked me about having the Goldman people allegedly call clients Muppets, I said, if you're returning 12% to 13% to me, you can call me anything you want.
I think that is fair, and I don't know whoever said what, but that's even if it was said, it's a few people, and you know, Goldman Sachs, a firm that's been around for well over 100 years, and it's a great firm, and the people that work there are happy, and it's my job to stand up and support companies that are here in the city that bring us a tax base and that employ our people, and I'm going to do that.
The CityTime fraud, obviously not a bright spot, but there is some light at the end of the tunnel, because $500 million has been ordered to be repaid by the company that
Well, we've already actually got the money.
You have the money. That's what I was going to ask you. Are you optimistic?
Check,
obviously you are.
Check cleared.
The check cleared. Yeah. Very interesting.
Now, keep in mind, this doesn't mean we have $500 million to go out and spend. We have a $3 billion deficit projected for the year 2014, and now we have a $2.5 billion deficit, unless our tax revenues don't come up to what we're thinking, in which case it may be bigger. But the bottom line, by the time we got done, is we went and we spent $700 million, got $500 back. So the bottom line is we have a system that is working and working very well and saving us a lot of money. And our net out of pocket through today is $200 million. And I'm optimistic that we will get at least a decent percentage of that back as well, and the cost will be even a lot less.
All right. I read a couple of stories about a plan, or at least an idea, to have nonprofits pay for garbage pickup. What's the status of that?
I have no idea.
No idea. Okay. Fair enough. We'll see what we can find out for next week, if indeed that is going forward or not. Speaking of going forward, I understand you're going overseas, going to Vietnam and Singapore.
Going to Singapore. There is number one, we're getting an award from the Lee Kuan Yew Foundation. Lee Kuan Yew used to be the head of the Singapore government, and it is an amazing, tiny country that really has attracted enormous number of people and wealth and success, and we're honored that they picked New York City to get the award. It means $230,000 in cash to New York City, goes into the city coffers. That's nice. And then I'm going to go, and we're going to also announce some tobacco funding for anti-tobacco that the Bloomberg Foundation is doing. There's a tobacco, anti-tobacco meeting there. And then since I was flying right over Vietnam, I'd never been, I thought it'd be nice to stop and see on the ground. Bloomberg Foundation has been supporting anti-traffic deaths, or programs to reduce traffic deaths around the world. In 10 or 15 years, traffic deaths will be the fifth largest killer in the world, as more and more people go from bicycles to motorbikes, then to motorcycles, and eventually to cars. And it just kills an awful lot of people. And Vietnam was one of the first countries where we started a program. The government passed a mandatory helmet law, and traffic deaths literally overnight fell a third. It's an enormous number of people who are no longer dying, and so I thought it'd be nice to go and see what's going on there, and maybe it'll help other countries when they read about it do the same thing.
Well, you and I have spoken many times, both on the air and off the air, that the foundation has been really instrumental in automobile safety.
Yeah, it's, you know, reducing DWI, having people wear seat belts, better road design so that you can see oncoming traffic and pedestrians don't get killed with different kinds of crosswalks. Actually, traffic deaths in New York City are today at an all-time low since we started keeping records back in, I think it's 1910, and then the city was half the size. And it was mostly people killed by runaway horses. Today it's pedestrians killed by automobiles. We don't have a lot of deaths from passengers in cars just because with the traffic you don't go that fast. But people get run over all the time. And we've worked very hard to do that. I was joking with some reporters from Newsday. Newsday covers all of Long Island and has a big audience in Queens, and they used to talk about Queens Boulevard being the boulevard of death because there were so many pedestrians killed. And I pointed out to them they haven't had one of those stories in a long time, and that shows we're making progress. And the Department of Transportation and Jeanette Sadiq Khan deserve a lot of credit for that. Also, through Times Square and Herald Square, the sidewalks couldn't handle the crowds. People used to walk in the streets, and they get hit by traffic all the time. Now that they're big pedestrian walkways, that saves a lot of lives right there as well.
Speaking of people in the streets, you're going to be marching tomorrow, aren't you?
I certainly am. It's going to be, we have a traditional St. Patrick's Day breakfast at Gracie Mansion. I'm going to go to St. Patrick's. You'd think that a cathedral named St. Patrick's would have a St. Patrick's Day Mass, and in fact they do. new Cardinal will be beaming. Hopefully the old Cardinal will be there as well with a big smile on his face. Both have names that you'd think they were probably Irish.
I would think so.
Egan and Dolan sounds more than Bloomberg. And then there's the great parade up Fifth Avenue, which I'm looking forward to. And I think the weather's going to cooperate.
I think it will as well. Have yourself a good time, along with a couple of million people expected along the parade route. And we'll miss you next Friday when you're overseas.
I will be in the air when you and I when would normally talk, but I'll talk to you the week after.
Have fun. Thank you very much.
Thanks, John.
All right. Mayor Michael Bloomberg, 26 minutes after 8 o'clock here on the John Gambling Show.